Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
This is Alice Bag, and you're listening to Pantheon Podcasts.
History in 5 songs. With host Martin Popoff. A production of Pantheon Podcasts. Let's rock out with Martin.
Hello, once again, welcome back to another episode of History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff, brought to you by the good people at Pantheon Podcasts. We are pleased, as always, to be part of this vast and expanding Pantheon Podcast Network. We're available on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon Music, and over 40 other podcast platforms. All right, this is episode 212. I'm calling this, What's the Point of This Band? The idea here, I was going to try to get variety in there, or styles, or numbers of styles. Always the challenge is to come up with a short snapper of a title here. Versatility. I was thinking of doing examples, maybe doing it on a video show and doing top 5, 3 up, 3 down sort of thing. But anyways, the point is, we are here doing it here on our audio podcast. And the idea here is, I've been having these conflicted thoughts about the pros and cons of bands being versatile, or thinking they're versatile. I mean, maybe they aren't versatile, and that's kind of the problem here. So the pros and cons of having a whole bunch of different styles, and then the next sort of level, peeled onion level here is, what is the point of this? Why are you doing all these different styles? And how are you different from a band who has generally one sort of style and seems to be doing that style because they like that kind of music? They're sure they like this kind of music. They want to participate in that, slightly tighter genre or subgenre. They want to make music like the music they like. They want to get good at doing one thing. And they think that's a good way to spend their 38 minutes in the 70s and 80s, or 40 minutes or 60 minutes on a CD, or whatever the heck we're going to do now. We're essentially still making full-length albums out there, even though physical's kind of gone, right? But, and we're seeing all sorts of different album lengths. Maybe there's even an episode in there too. I know we've done this album's too long, this album's too short. But so generally, CDs, albums these days are still an hour long. So the idea here is, with all these twists in the catalog, why are these bands doing it? Just pondering, what is the point of this band? So we've got different examples here, and we're going to end on a happy note with two bands where I think it is actually working that they're doing this. But these first three, not so sure. So let's take a listen to our first selection here. This is Nazareth with No Mean Monster.
For years now,
Okay, so this is from the Big Dogs album, and I wanted to pick something to put Nazareth on a happy story too. I'm a big Nazareth fan. I wrote a Nazareth book. You can get my Nazareth visual biography right now at martinpopoff.com, and actually we've updated it and changed the cover and stuff. They're putting that out of print, and it's now just going to be called Nazareth, a visual biography. Anyways, I wanted to pick something from Big Dogs and this later period, Dan McCafferty, before he's sadly gone. You know, the band now has two albums with the new lead singer, right? Carl Sentence. But so the thing with Nazareth, everybody complains about Nazareth, and I sort of complain too, where they just seem to be this band that, I mean, for sincere purposes, I'm saying that they don't actually really succeed at it, but for sincere purposes, they are chasing a good song, right? Now, I guess that's the point of this band, right? They think they're kind of looking at a wide palette of rock and roll. Let's start with writing it, first of all. So they're looking at a wide palette, and in terms of writing songs, somebody comes in with something, somebody comes up with something, and it's more like the priority is this a good song? Can we whip it into shape and turn it into a good song? They don't care if it's particularly hard rock. Sometimes I guess they're thinking we want a single. Sometimes they're thinking, oh, we did good with that ballad as the last single. Let's make sure we have another ballad on every single album or two. Let's do a funky song. We happen to be fans of Crazy Horse, for example. Well, that's we'll get there in a second, but say Little Feet, right? We happen to be a fan fans of Little Feet. Let's do a Little Feet type song. We happen to have toured with Deep Purple. We're fans of Deep Purple. Let's do a Deep Purple type song. So they're all over the place. And what also happens with Nazareth is they compound that variety or versatility, whether they have it or not. Again, that's up for argument, with even changing arrangements and sounds. So as you get into sort of mid-70s to late 70s with this band, you also see them doing this thing that I call writing heavy and not recording heavy sometimes. So you've got some songs, you know, along the likes of You're Close Enough for Rock and Roll and Playing the Game and Expect No Mercy, that are not quite arranged as heavy as the songs seem to have been written. And again, you don't have a lot of super heavy songs. Then you get into something like Malice in Wonderland in those later albums, where they really change up the arrangement and say, okay, not only are we writing with a strange amount of variety that seems to be confusing everybody, and it's not really giving us much of a career, it's not giving us a lot of sales, but they're also adding in different instrumentation and, you know, bringing in different producers who think completely, totally differently than, you know, Nazareth as a quote unquote classic rock band from the early 70s. And then, of course, the other thing Nazareth does to compound this even more is, consistent with the idea of chasing a good song, is that they will do covers. They will do covers quite often, shamelessly, and the idea is we don't care who wrote the song. It doesn't have to be us. We don't have the egos that tell us we have to write it. We will do a cover, and it's obviously worked out really good for them. This Flight Tonight, Love Hurts, right? So some of their biggest hits, My White Bicycle did okay as well. Really cool song, kind of an old obscure 60s thing. But, you know, they covered Crazy Horse two or three times off of that album. I can't remember the count at this point, but they loved that album. So, Nazareth is definitely an example of this, where it seems like they've come out the other end with their reputation not super exalted like our big favorite classic bands of all time. And soon as you start talking about Nazareth, people immediately start kind of griping about them and going down the list and sort of deciding that this whole variety thing wasn't so great. I don't like any of those 80s albums, blah, blah, blah. And it usually comes down to people loving Razzmatazz, Loud and Proud, and Hair the Dog, basically, right? That's the classic Nazareth. And guess what? I mean, and I don't know why this should matter, but guess what? Those are the heaviest albums, right? And the only other one, or the one, actually, I want to get to the happy story again, why I picked Big Dogs again, but I'll get there. But the only other one where you feel that excitement of discovery and everything being kind of cohesive is when Jeff Skunk Baxter gets involved and produces Malice in Wonderland. So that one, there was some excitement around the band, but then the formula just kind of weakened and it didn't work sort of next time out. Now, the final point about them, I really think Nazareth actually did start to have a unified song in these great, great albums, Rock and Roll Telephone, News, The News, Big Dogs, these later ones with Dan McCafferty, where now everything sort of had, you know, working with Yann Roulet, is that his name? They seem to have this sort of bruising heavy production sound. And Dan's voice was getting even more extreme. And then it was applied to their amount of variety, but the variety tightened up a little. It was all a little more up-tempo rock and roll or bluesy rock and roll, but it sounded like guitar, bass, and drums music. And there were still some good experiments, some good melody and stuff, but it really certainly didn't sound as wayward and all over the place as the likes of, boy, what do we got? In Excess and Full Circle and Snakes and Ladders and all those sorts of records, right? Snakes and Ladders, yeah, I think this was called, yeah. So, all of that period is basically, you know, the worst period that people, you know, really, really weren't into. So there you go. Nazareth, has it worked? It's oddly enough, like I say, I think they had a unified sound during those classic years. And then my favorite Nazareth albums besides those classic years were those three or four, No Jive included. Those albums with Dan before, sadly, he had to retire and then he passed away from his COPD situation. All right, let's take a short break and we'll be right back. Okay, back again here on History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff, episode 211, What's the Point of This Band? So we're going to have a similar conversation here, but it's different circumstances. Trooper, Canadian band Trooper. So I've been talking about these guys on video lately a little bit, but yesterday I went for a kind of a walk hike just to get some exercise in the Great Don Valley, total super nature, you know, right here in downtown Toronto, unbelievable. But I walked around listening to Trooper. I didn't have my watch, so I said, okay, I want to stay out for at least two albums, right? So I played two Trooper albums in their entirety. And the whole time I'm thinking, what was I playing? I think I was playing Flying Colors because we just did this Three Dressed Up as a Nine song. Let's play it now. Trooper with Three Dressed Up as a Nine. Okay, so this is from the Flying Colors album, 1979. Interesting year. I've done a couple video shows lately looking at this year. What a weird song, eh? And a weird band. Three Dressed Up as a Nine, you probably couldn't get away with that these days. But you kind of know what that means. It's just one of these boy-girl, appearances sort of songs. Anyways, so I'm walking around listening to Trooper thinking, What is the point of this band? What are they doing here? Are they sort of just chasing the good song? Are they chasing a hit? Does one guy come in with kind of a bluesy pop song and another guy comes in with something with a hint of a power chord? They've got piano and strings ballads. They've got synthesizers. They've got some, you know, they do a cover of The Kinks, All Day and All of the Night, which I swear, I'm listening to this thing and it's got this kind of weird synthesizer bass pattern and thinking that was probably the reason they did this almost is like somebody had this cool sound that they thought they wanted to use. They got Ray McGuire as the lead singer, but then other guys sings as well. And I'm just going through all this. They've got novelty hits, right? Like General Hand Grenade and what is that song called? Where's my Trooper Hot Shots album? You wouldn't believe this. So they've got, Trooper has a greatest hits album that here in Canada, it's a gatefold. It's got die cutting with these bullet holes in sort of an arrow. This album went six times platinum in Canada. So we're talking like an album that would have been even gold in the States. But the hits they had here, the boys in the bright white sports car. So that's like a novelty hit. It's kind of a rocker. General Hand Grenade's kind of like a BTO song. And again, like I say, they're a Vancouver band. They're all tied up in this this Prism Loverboy sort of consortium. You know, Brian Smith is in the band as well, managed by Sam Feldman. Two for the Show is just like this glammy ballad. So that's the other thing they do is just this weird glam stuff. Santa Maria, which is almost like a Jimmy Buffett song. We're Here for a Good Time, Not a Long Time is even more of like a Jimmy Buffett song. So these are like sort of glam novelty songs. Oh, Pretty Lady, It's Been a Long Time, Round, Round We Go, Moment That It Takes, Raise a Little Hell. That's their other big one, right? So Raise a Little Hell, it falls into this idea of pomp rock. So this almost like this pre-hair metal sort of music, post-glam, pre-hair metal, but they're from Canada, they're from Western Canada. So yeah, Trooper and Prism both fall into this thing. So, you know, I'm just like walking around the Don Valley thinking, why are these guys doing this stuff? Are they doing it to, hopefully that every fifth song is a hit single, or somebody says it's a hit single, or some radio guy plays it, or the label pushes it as a hit single and it becomes a hit and we make some money? But there's just all this variety across these albums, jarring variety between these genres that don't really seem to go together. And I suppose in the aggregate, you add up all these albums. Like, what do we got here? We got Two for the Show, Flying Colors. We got the Trooper album with the weird, the weird artwork on the front. Knock 'em Dead Kid. It's funny. They help their unity thing with having this this classic logo. They've got this logo that is red going into orange like fire, right? And then it's got this sort of aquamarine blue around it, and it's a true classic 70s logo with these five stars coming off of it, and it looks really good, right? And then the album covers have sort of a unity because of this. They use these colors. So they've got that going for them, but it's just this strange, it almost strikes me as almost a Canadian thing that bands would do this. And I'm just thinking, I guess you're in this because you're in this not because you like a certain type of music. You're in this because you like the art of songwriting, almost like you're doing a crossword puzzle or working on the engine of your car or something. You're just trying to take a song to its conclusion, and you don't care what kind of song it is. So there's no conviction or love of a certain kind of music when you're making this music. And in the aggregate, it adds up to something because you can take all these weird styles that they have and clump them all together and say, okay, well, I guess they do those five different things. But do they do any of them particularly well? It almost seems like the success of Trooper, and they had a lot of success here in Canada. The success comes from the fact that almost randomly they had these hits. And more often than not, there was a little bit of novelty to why they had any hits. So that's kind of interesting. I think BTO is a little bit like that as well. Okay, let's move on to our third selection here. Take a listen to this. This is April Wine with Forever For Now. So this is kind of the same conversation as Trooper, and it happens to be a Canadian band, and I wanted to underscore it with this. And the reason I wanted to include April Wine in this is because, I was listening to Grant's Rock Warehouse. They did a ranking of all the April Wine albums, and I listened to the whole thing, and I was like just genuinely frustrated. And it's the same sort of feeling I have with a band like Nazareth, more so or less so than Trooper, put it that way, because I'm a bigger fan of Nazareth and April Wine than I am of Trooper. But it's that same frustration as you go through the catalog And you're just constantly being bombarded with songs that you go, why are they doing this? What is the point of this? This is like cheesy, or it's glam, or it's almost a boy band thing, or it's country, or it's a ballad, or they're trying to be funky, or, oh, they're showing us that they have blues roots. You know, even later up into Roughly Speaking, it's like kind of a bluesy R&B sort of album. It's weird. They're kind of known for, the somewhat degree of heaviness, kind of like a BTO heaviness, around the likes of Electric Jewels and, you know, the live album, of course, and Stand Back. But then it gets kind of poppy again. So this song we played is from Forever For Now. It's the title track, January 77. I believe this is the one they said it was supposed to be a Myles Goodwyn solo album. But whatever the case, I mean, this and The Whole World's Going Crazy are just pretty, or maybe it's that one was supposed to be solo. Anyways, they're both just really kind of mainstream poppy rock sort of thing of the 70s, right? And they sound pretty dated, right? And yet, so they have that early heavy period, and yet what they're most celebrated for is, again, surprise, Harder Faster is essentially their Hair of the Dog, or Razzmatazz, Loud and Proud, and so is The Nature of the Beast. So those are the two albums that were the biggest in the States. I believe we've got maybe a gold and a platinum. So they had some success in the States. But again, it's for the general slightly more up-tempo heaviness across those records, Power Play as well a little bit, and First Glance, leading up to Harder, Faster in 78, ahead of it with the likes of Roller. But they also kind of made it with these up-tempo, guitar-y, kind of party rock, poppy songs, but were still distortion pedal songs. And then, of course, just like Trooper, they had some ballads that did well, and just like Nazareth, they had some ballads that did well. So you wonder, on a cynical basis or not, you know, these are their biggest songs. This gave them a career. This earned them some money. So I guess they're going to do that as well. But again, the whole point across these bands is like, why are they doing this exactly? Are they just looking for a song that they can get, you know, as wide consensus as possible? Miles, of course, is the boss of the band, but wide consensus that, I guess it's a good song. We don't care what style it's in, but I guess it's a good song. And then they pay some attention to how many of each kind of song are an album, but it's pretty loose because these albums can really be all over the place. And then the early stuff, you know, the April Wine self-titled and on record, as Grant's excellent show, you could go check that out on YouTube, went through, those were rated pretty low. But even these guys, so there were four guys on there, I believe, right? Four Grant. And you know, it was a little all over the place. There was some consensus, panning out at the end, because I guess they agree with me that Nature of the Beast, Harder, Faster, Power Play, First Glance, that's kind of like their golden period. But yeah, still there was obvious confusion in even their ranking that was going on. So that's your April Wine. Again, a band that I've always been my last final story about April Wine is, I might have mentioned this before, not a happy moment. But I was backstage with the guys, and I had given Miles my big collector's guide book, and he started flipping through it and reading the reviews, and I had rated a lot of the albums kind of low, and he was getting really ticked off, and you could tell he was getting kind of angry. He's known to be a little cranky as well anyways, right? But yeah, signed my stuff, and it was all okay, and you know, there was no blow up about it, but you could tell, that I've run into that a couple times where you give these guys one of these record review books, and they, rather than keep talking to you, they immediately start opening up and reading it, right, looking for their albums, and he was not happy at these low reviews of April Wine. But that's possibly a problem on the part of the fan like myself. It's like, oh, my mind isn't open, I just want them to rock and be heavy. Maybe someone else, you know, maybe someone of the female persuasion wants just those wedding song ballads, right? They've done that before, and they've done great at it, right? So maybe it's the fault of the fan, and we should be more open minded and be loving what these bands do. But okay, so let's end off on a happy note here, and we'll discuss these bands. Take a listen to this. This is Led Zeppelin with Black Country Woman. You didn't have to leave me like a total distress. All right, to the great Physical Graffiti. So Led Zeppelin is a band that has always said, we're so versatile. We give you a lot of everything, right? And that always kind of annoyed me. You know, I've said this before, where the idea is, look, if you only got 40 minutes, you can't be all things to everybody because you mathematically are just going to be that number of minutes of that to those persons. Whether with Zeppelin, it's acoustic music like this Black Country Woman, which is also a little sort of like bluegrassy hillbilly kind of music, right? But it could be folky as well. But you could have the Led Zeppelin blues. You can have the proggy stuff. You can have the heavy stuff. You can have the short snappers. You can have long songs. So yes, they do all those things, but you know they shouldn't be so confident in themselves that they're pleasing everybody with this, because you can't please everybody with 8 minutes of this on the album and 3 minutes of that and 7 minutes of that. Everybody's going to go away mathematically exactly as happy as the math works out. But on the other hand, I think this is an example of a band where you're excited about when they try something different, right? People, so the least appreciated songs are the likes of The Crunge, Hot Dog, maybe All My Love, even just for being too much of a rote ballad, although it's about the death of his son, Jamaica, right? Their sort of attempt at reggae or whatever. But in general, everybody's kind of like excited and curious and want to see Zeppelin, do all these different things, and like push the envelope and just be daring and creative and brave. So I think this is a case where you would say they are a versatile band, because generally when they try these six or so different things that they do across those eight albums, generally they're successful at it, and there is a large fan base for everything they're trying. So that is kind of cool. But I wanted to just state here that, there's so many bands that don't fit into this, that aren't these crazy, wild, different. Because, Zeppelin, well, our last episode actually compares to Sabbath. And I've always said that I'd rather Sabbath explore way more heavy metal, in comparison to someone like Zeppelin, because they do a really good job of it. And so they're focusing, big deal. So they're focusing on one thing. Yes, they aren't doing a whole bunch of different things. But I'm fine with that. But then also, by the same token, but by doing songs that are possibly not even that great when they get super, super quiet, they aren't particularly the most celebrated songs in the world. Changes, Laguna Sunrise, Planet Caravan, whatever. Am I Going Insane? Who Are You? So maybe Sabbath, in a sense, isn't particularly versatile, but they don't exercise the versatile muscle either, right? So we could have that debate. Priest isn't particularly versatile. The least versatile bands on the planet, of course, are the Ramones, AC/DC, and Motorhead. I think Zeppelin is a creative winner at this. Let's move on to number five, because this is my favorite one of these. This is Queen with Fun It. Okay, so that's kind of like a disco track off of Jazz, 1978. I love it to death. I'm even more excited when Queen gives us this dizzying versatility, especially in the 70s, maybe kind of only in the 70s, a little bit in the 80s. But I think a whole bunch of the things they try in the 80s are not what I want to hear. But as an example of a band who does the very, very best job of this, every single thing they try in a strange direction in the 70s, I'm totally on board. I'm confident that they are geniuses at being versatile, and they're going to do a good job of it. So everything from the 1920s dance hall music of their parents to blazing heavy metal of Stone Cold Crazy and Modern Times Rock and Roll and Sheer Heart Attack, and everything in between. Mustafa and Fun It on this album, Let Me Entertain You is a heavy one. The poppy stuff they do, the acoustic things they do, the occasional slow blues they do. That's probably my least favorite thing. But and I wanted to pick this one because, yeah, it's got strange drum production. It's a duet between Roger and Freddie. So it's got a lot of creativity going into it. So there you go. I think Queen is probably my favorite example of a band where, what's the point of this band? The point of this band is that they are incredibly versatile and they can do all these different things. And I love it. The point of Queen is their versatility. And the point of these other bands, I think, is and Zeppelin. Okay, so their versatility. The point of our less successful examples, I think, is they're chasing the perfect song. But with Queen, I just feel like they're celebrating versatility. So that's kind of the cool thing. So there you go. There is your what is the point of this band situation. Our two successful examples, just to put a little more focus on Led Zeppelin and the question, what is the point of this band? I think the point of that band is that they are really celebrating and exploring a tighter range of things than Queen, but they're exploring music they really like, and they're almost like a Metallica. You know, a Metallica wants to explore one type of music they like. Led Zeppelin wants to explore like four or five types of music they like. I think that's kind of the thing. They're enthusiastic about this kind of music and they want to add to the canon of that kind of music. Whereas Queen, I think it's just about, oh man, we love being versatile and look how successful we are at it, kind of thing. So there you go. If you like the show and want to support future episodes, go to coffee rhymes with, here we go again. It's always complicated. Ko-fi.com/Martin Popoff. There we go. Just let's go with that. Ko-fi.com/Martin Popoff. Hit that red support button. Buy me a coffee or a pint. You know, it's just a PayPal thing, a $3 button kind of thing. On that front, I want to thank Andy at Black Sugar Transmission, Joe Beck to Bel Air Expediting, Jamie Laszlo, Monty Olson, Augustin Garcia de Paredes, Pure Source Massage, or The Infinite Within, Steve Polari, John Stuckey, and William Walker. Very, very generous, William. I know you've been sending me some good ideas, and we'll get to some of those. This one just kind of popped up. You know what? This one popped up, like I say, to recap, because of watching that April Wine thing and going on that walk yesterday, and frankly, doing the Pomp Rock episode with Pete recently, where I talked about Trooper and Prism, and then also doing the one where we had Phil Aston on Pete's show, where we talked about bands from our own country, and all of that got me thinking about this. But walking around listening to Trooper yesterday, it was like, I got to talk about this. I have no idea why this band does what they do. So I thought that was kind of cool. You can go to martinpopoff.com for all your book needs. You know, I've still got the Pink Floyd, the AC/DC, and the David Bowie. Those are the three super plush, nice ones. Recently, The Cure. I'm working on a couple more of those panel books, but The Cure one, the Bluish Cult one, is coming soon. There you go. Go play some Three Dressed Up as a Nine.
Find all of our shows, notes, social, and links at www.pantheonpodcast.com or wherever you listen to great podcasts. All songs can be found for purchase on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Please purchase these great and important tracks. Find us on Facebook at The RNRAP. We are on Instagram at RNR Archaeology. Tweet us at RNR Archaeology.